So the commentator is explaining the word sota dhatu. It is called sota because it hears, in the sense of hearing. And it is called dhatu because it is without the soul. Sometimes dhatu is explained as something which is without the soul, which is just the phenomenon. No permanent entity, or no soul, or no self. Also, it is an ear element because it is like the ear element in its performance of an ear element's function with that divine ear element.
But actually is the mind.
Actually, it is knowledge, panya. Panya associated with mindfulness.
And all direct knowledge is
All direct knowledge is panya, which is purified, which is quite pure through having no imperfection, and surpasses the human, which is the hearing of sounds, surpasses, stands beyond the human ear element by surpassing the human environment. That means normal range of hearing, beyond the normal range of hearing. He hears both kinds of sounds. He hears the two kinds of sounds. What two? The divine and the human. The sounds of deities and of human beings is what is meant. Hear sound means speech sounds. That is why it is said this should be understood as partially inclusive. Not other sounds, but just the speech sounds. Those that are far as well as near. What is meant is that he hears sounds that are far off, even in another world sphere, and those that are near, even the sounds of the creatures living in his own body. This should be understood as completely inclusive, so it includes everything. The sounds of animals, sounds of insects, sounds of germs, and sounds of other things. But how is this divine ear element aroused? So it is how to practice. The bhikkhu should attain jhana, so enters into jhana as basis for direct knowledge and emerge. Then with the consciousness belonging to the preliminary work concentration, he should advert first to the gross sounds in the distance, normally within range of hearing. So little by little. The sound in the forest of lions, etc. Or in the monastery, the sound of a gong, the sound of a drum, the sound of a conch, the sound of recitation by novices and young bhikkhus reciting with full vigor. So if you go to a Burmese monastery, you can still hear young monks and novices reciting over years loudly. you can hear it from a distance. Everybody shout, learning aloud because they are memorizing actually. The sound of their ordinary talk, such as what venerable sir, what friend, etc., the sound of birds, the sound of wind, the sound of footsteps, the fizzing sound of boiling water, the sound of palm leaves drying in the sun, the sound of ants, and so on. Beginning in this way with quite gross sounds, he should successively advert to more and more subtle sounds. He should give attention to this sound sign of the sounds, that means just a sound, in the eastern direction, in the western direction, in the northern direction, in the southern direction, in the upper direction, in the lower direction, in the eastern intermediate direction, in the western intermediate direction, in the northern intermediate direction, in the southern intermediate direction. He should give attention to these sound signs of gross and of subtle sounds. So sound sign really means just the sound, or gross subtle aspect of the sound. So they're just the same. These sounds are evident even to his normal consciousness. That means not yet to the direct knowledge consciousness, but this is evident even to his normal consciousness. If you pay attention to these sounds, and you will hear them normally. But they are especially evident to his preliminary work concentration consciousness. That is when he is doing this. After emerging from the jhana, he adverts to these sounds. As he gives his attention to the sound sign in this way, now let us strike out thinking. When the divine ear element is about to arise, he makes this mistake always, because he misunderstood the Pali idiom. So here, what really is meant is, when the divine ear element is about to arise, then mind or adverting arises and so on. Not thinking. Now the divine ear element will arise. So instead of that we say, when the divine ear element is about to arise, mind or adverting arises, making one of these sounds its object. Now he is describing a thought process of direct knowledge. So when direct knowledge is about to arise, first there is mind or adverting.
So change now to when?
When? Yeah.
So cross out now.
Cross out thinking, and then also now, and insert when the divine ear element is about to arise, is going to arise. Mind or adverting arises, making one of these sounds its object. When that has ceased, after mind or adverting, then either four or five impulsions impel. They are sense sphere consciousness.
Why mind or not the five sense?
These are out of range of the five senses. Because it's going to be a direct knowledge thought process which comes through mind door, not through five sense doors. And then four or five impulsions impel, the first three or four of which are of the sense sphere and are called preliminary work, access, conformity and change of lineage, while the fourth or the fifth is fine material sphere absorption consciousness. This is a direct knowledge consciousness belonging to the fourth jhana. So direct knowledge consciousness is actually fourth jhana consciousness, but not ordinary fourth jhana consciousness. And ordinary fourth jhana consciousness takes the object of meditation like a sina and so on. But here, it takes what? Sound as an object. Because it is the divine ear element. Here, it is knowledge arisen together with the absorption consciousness that is called the divine ear element. So the divine ear element really means knowledge or panya. After that, absorption has been reached, the divine ear element becomes merged in that ear of knowledge. Now, sometimes it is unfortunate. Two words, divine ear. So the word for ear is soda, right? And here, the word for stream or flow is also soda. So here, the divine ear element becomes merged in the stream of knowledge or flow of knowledge. Because the same word was used in two different senses. In fact, the Pali word used is falls into the stream of knowledge, or the flow of knowledge. When consolidating it, he should extend it by delimiting a single finger breadth. Thus, I will hear sounds within this area, a very, very small area. Then two finger breaths, four finger breaths, eight finger breaths, a span, a retina, that means 24 finger breaths. Retina, we understand retina as one length of the arm.
It's
from the, what about this?
The
elbow. To the tip of the fingers. It's about 1.5 feet.
1.5 feet.
I think that is about 1.5 feet.
Yeah. Oh, it's from
your foot is from
the
wrist.
I think the whole arm is supposed to be a yard.
A yard?
I think so. I think a whole arm length is a yard.
Oh, really?
But actually, that doesn't make sense because I think your arms aren't that long. But
it's kind of yeah. So each span means a span with the small little finger.
Oh, little finger.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah. A span, a retina, the interior of the room, the veranda, the building, the surrounding walk, the park belonging to the community, the arms resort village, the district, and so on, up to the limit of the wall sphere, or even more. This is how he should extend it by limited stages. One who has reached direct knowledge in this way hears also by means of direct knowledge without re-entering the basic jhana any sound that has come within the space touched by the basic jhana's object. So other sound also, he doesn't have to get into jhana again, basic jhana again and do the preliminary work. He doesn't have to do that. And in hearing in this way, even if there is an uproar with sounds of conscious drums, cymbals, etc., right up to the Brahma world, he can, if he wants to, still define each one thus. So although all sounds are mixed up, he can define each one. This is the sound of conscious, this is the sound of drums, and so on. So this is the divine ear. So by the power of divine ear element, a person can hear sounds far away, out of the reach of human ear. Now, penetration of minds. As to the explanation of knowledge of penetration of minds, the text is as follows. How long? He directs, he inclines his mind to the knowledge of penetration of minds, then reading minds. He penetrates with his mind the minds of other beings, of other persons, and understands them thus. He understands the manner of consciousness, actually the types of consciousness, affected by greed, and understands the types of consciousness unaffected by greed as unaffected by greed, and so on. And affected really means associated with. So these are the 16 kinds of consciousness. You find this also in the Mahasatipatthana Sutta. Under the contemplation on mind or consciousness. So next page. Here it goes all wrong. This is the explanation of the Pali word. Chito pariya. So first the word pariya is explained. It goes all wrong. Thus it is pariya or penetration. That means the delimiting. The meaning is that it delimits. The penetration of the heart is penetration of minds. It is also, in Pali, it is just say chetaso pariyam. So, we can say the penetration of mind is the penetration of minds, which is ridiculous. They could not be translated. It is penetration of heart and that is knowledge. Thus, it is knowledge of penetration of minds. Chito pariya jnana. Chito means mind. Pariya means, say, delimiting or, say, penetration. And jnana means knowledge. He directs his consciousness to that, is what it means. Of other beings, of the rest of beings, himself excluded. So, of other beings means not of himself. Of other persons, that has the same meaning as the last. The word being varied to suit those susceptible to teaching in another way and for the sake of elegance of exposition. Sometimes words are used, although they are synonyms, words are used again and again so that listeners could understand. With his mind, the minds, with his, say, consciousness, the consciousness of other beings. Having penetrated, having delimited all around, he understands them to be of various sorts, beginning with that affected by greed. That means with greed, without greed, and so on. But how is this knowledge to be aroused? That is successfully done through the divine eye. So first, one has to get the divine eye, knowledge of divine eye, which constitutes its preliminary work. So the knowledge of divine eye or divine eye element is a preliminary to this penetration of minds. Therefore, the bhikkhu should extend light and he should seek out another's consciousness by keeping under observation with the divine eye the color of the blood present with the matter of the physical heart as its support. Matter of the heart, the footnote, is not the heart basis, but rather it is the heart as a piece of flesh described as resembling a lotus bud in shape outside and like a kosadiki fruit inside. So here heart means not the heart base, which is one of the material properties. Here it means the whole heart. For when consciousness accompanied by joy is present, the blood is red, like a banyan fig fruit. When consciousness accompanied by grief is present, or domanasa, unpleasant feeling, is present, it is blackish, like a ripe rose apple fruit. So please put ripe there. Do you have rose apple fruits here in this country? Newt, have you seen them? Oh. It's real purplish black. Black and purple mixed. It's about this size.
So it's very, very dark.
Yeah.
More like a plum?
Right. Yes.
It's smaller.
Isn't it Kushishubi?
Yes.
Yeah, I have it at home. I have the tree at home.
Yeah,
when it turned dark. Yeah.
It dark, yes.
Chinese, they took that to
Mexican. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We don't have to,
it's a little sour.
Yeah, next week I can bring it.
Oh, good. So a rice rose apple fruit. When consciousness accompanied by serenity is present, it is clear like sesame oil. So he should seek out another's consciousness by keeping under observation the color of the blood in the physical heart. So he looked into the heart and look at the color of the blood. And this matter is originated by the joy faculty. So when he sees the color red, then He knows that his mind is accompanied by joy and so on. So this is originated by the grief faculty. This is originated by the equanimity faculty, and so consolidate his knowledge of penetration of hearts. It is when it has been consolidated in this way that he can gradually get to understand not only all manner of sense sphere, that means all types of sense sphere consciousness, but all of those of fine material and immaterial consciousness, Rupa Vajra and Arupa Vajra as well, by tracing one consciousness from another without any more seeing the physical heart's matter. So just from one consciousness to another. For it is said in the commentary, when he wants to know another's consciousness in the immaterial moods, whose physical heart matter can be observed? Because there is no physical heart. Whose material alteration originated by the faculties can he look at? No one's. The province of a possessor of supernormal power is simply this, namely, wherever the consciousness he adverts to is, there he knows it according to the 16 classes. 16 classes means those given in paragraph 8. And those accompanied by greed, those not accompanied by greed, and so on. But this explanation by means of the physical heart is for one who has not yet done any interpreting. Interpreting really means contemplating or something like that. It may be misleading, the word interpreting.
So, but by you interpreting it, I mean, it just appears. There's no... It doesn't... You don't make it clear, it just happens.
Oh. No, here it means abhinivesa, means reflecting sanyana, contemplating. So in the footnote, one who has not done any interpreting, abhinivesa, reckoned as study. I think that is not study, it is striving for direct knowledge. Not just studying, but practicing for direct knowledge. And then he left out some words which are important. So please add after direct knowledge. A beginner is what is meant.
What are you referring to him?
Footnote 6.
Oh, I see.
Of one who has not done any interpreting, reckoned as striving for direct knowledge. And then after that, a beginner is what is meant. So that means a beginner. A rather special use of the word abhinivesa, perhaps more freely renderable here as practice, right? That is, I think, nearer to the original meaning. As regards the manner of consciousness affected by greed, that means associated with greed, etc., the eight manners of consciousness, the eight types of consciousness accompanied by greed, see table 2, numbers 22 to 29, should be understood as the manner of consciousness affected by greed. The remaining profitable and indeterminate manners of consciousness in the four planes are unaffected by greed. You will need the chat. There are 12 types of consciousness, and 8 are accompanied by greed, and 2 accompanied by anger, and the last 2 by ignorance only. So 8 are affected by greed, and the remaining profitable and indeterminate, there are other types of consciousness. They are unaffected by greed. The four, namely, the two consciousnesses accompanied by grief and the two consciousnesses accompanied respectively by uncertainty, that means doubt, and agitation, are not included in this diet, though some elders include them too. It is a little difficult to understand here. Among the 12, eight are associated with loba, right? Loba or raga. Here, the word used is raga. So 8 are associated with greed. But the 4 are not associated with greed. But these 4 are not included in this diet. It is explained here. And the sub-commentary also explains, but not so convincing. Maybe in the sub-commentary it is said that these 4 types of consciousness are not associated with greed. But since the greed can be a condition for these 4 types of consciousness to arise, there may be some suspicion for those who don't know Abhidhamma. There may be some suspicion that they may be accompanied by greed. So it is not included in accompanied by greed or not accompanied by greed. And so they are left out of this diet altogether. And then the 4, namely the 2 consciousnesses accompanied by grief and the 2 consciousnesses accompanied respectively by uncertainty and agitation, are not included in this diet. Though some elders include them too. I think we should side with some elders. It's easier. So some elders said they should be included in, included in, unaffected by grief. Because they are not accompanied by greed. It is the 2 consciousnesses accompanied by grief that are called a consciousness affected by hate. That means to dosa mula. And all profitable and indeterminate consciousness in the four planes are unaffected by hate. The remaining 10 kinds of unprofitable consciousnesses are not included in this diet again, though some elders include them too. Affected by delusion, unaffected by delusion, here are only the two, namely that accompanied by uncertainty and that accompanied by agitation, are affected by delusion. Simply sit. Tool. Well, how do you read that? Without being accompanied by the other two unprofitable roots. Now, the last two types of consciousness among the 12 are affected by delusion. Then what are the unaffected by delusion? The two, namely, that accompanied by uncertainty and that accompanied by agitation are affected by delusion. That means affected by delusion only. So without being accompanied by the other two unprofitable roots. But all the 12 kinds of unprofitable consciousness can also be understood as consciousness affected by delusion, since delusion is present in all kinds of unprofitable consciousnesses. 12 types of unwholesome consciousness. All 12 of them are accompanied by delusion. So we can say in two ways here. Affected by delusion can mean only two, the last two, because they are affected by delusion only. But if we take not affected by delusion only, but affected by delusion, then we can take all 12. So all the 12 kinds of unprofitable consciousness can also be understood as consciousness affected by delusion, since delusion is present in all kinds of unprofitable consciousness. The rest are unaffected by delusion. Cramped is that attended by stiffness and torpor. So when you are sleepy. Distracted is that attended by agitation. Exalted is that of the fine material and immaterial spheres, rupa vajra and arupa vajra. Unexalted is the rest. Surpassed is all that in the three mundane planes, kama vajra, rupa vajra, arupa vajra. Unsurpassed is the supramundane, that is lokottara. Concentrated is that attained to excess and that attained to absorption. So two kinds of concentration. Unconcentrated is that not attained to either. Liberated is that attained to any of the five kinds of deliverance, that is to say, deliverance by substitution of opposites through insight, by suppression through concentration, by cutting off by means of path, by tranquilization by means of fruition, and by renunciation as nibbana. So there are five kinds of deliverance. The first one is momentary. The second one is what? Temporary, and the third one is total cutting off, and the fourth one is stealing. I mean, say you put out fire first, and then you pour some more water on it so that it is really extinguished. So that is by tranquilization, and by renunciation means when a person gets enlightenment, then nibbana is the object there. So taking nibbana as object, the enlightenment consciousness eradicates mental defilements. So there it is like by renunciation, because at that moment everything is renounced or given up. Unliberated is that which has not attained to any of the five kinds of liberation. So the bhikkhus who has acquired the knowledge of penetration of heart understand all these types of consciousness. Consciousness affected by greed, as affected by greed, and so on. So this is how those who possess supernormal knowledge reach mind of other people. Now, recollection of past life. As to the explanation of knowledge of recollection of past life, he directs, he inclines his mind to the knowledge of recollection of past life and so on. Now, about the middle of the paragraph, you see the herein, to the knowledge of recollection of past life means for knowledge concerning recollection of past life. Past life is aggregates lived in the past in former births. This is one explanation. And lived in that case means lived out, undergone. The commentary explanation is for the word undergone, arisen again and again, arisen and ceased in one's own subjective continuity. So this is one explanation of the word past life. Past life means aggregates lived in the past. That means aggregates which had arisen in one's own continuity. Now, the second explanation. Or alternatively, past life is mental objects. No. Past life is all phenomena, not mental objects. But the Pali word used is Dhamma. But here, Dhamma does not mean mental objects. All phenomena. Now, in the first explanation, only the aggregates are given, taken. So, past life means, let us say, past aggregates. But in this explanation, past life means past all things, aggregates, Nibbana, and any other thing. So it is more, it is wider in scope than the first one. So alternatively, past life is all phenomena lived. And here lived means what? In the past, in one form of birth, and lived in that case means lived by living in one's objective resort. Do you understand that?
No, I don't understand resort.
Right. That means living in one's resort means just remembered, taken as an object.
In one's memory?
Yes. Which has been cognized and delimited by one's own consciousness, or cognized by another's consciousness too. Now here also we have to make some changes. After two should be a comma, and then the word in should start with small I. In the case of recollection of those past enlightened ones who have broken the cycle, and so on. Full stop there. And then
after so on.
After so on. And then next sentence with a capital T. These last are only accessible to enlightened ones. Now the second explanation is that lived here means just taken as object. So it is like remembered. And remembered by oneself as well as by others. Now, past life. You can remember, let us say somebody can remember his past life. You can remember your past life. That means the past life which you can take as an object. So in that case, you can remember other people too. But you cannot remember what other people experienced. So, that is one kind. And the other kind is recognized by another's consciousness too. That is, in the case of recollection of those past enlightened ones who have broken the cycle, and so on. That means arahants, Buddhas. And these last are only accessible to enlightened ones. That means only the Buddhas have such a knowledge. Now, disciples cannot remember what are experienced by other persons. They can remember their own experience in the past. Suppose I can remember my past life. Then I can tell you then I have such a father, such a mother,
but
something
Buddhists
like that.
But Buddhists can remember everybody's past lives.
Yes. Yeah. But I cannot remember what my father in that life experience or think of or something like that. But Buddhists can remember all of this. So when Buddha talked about the Jatakas, then he could talk about his experience as well as other people's experience. So that is the difference. Recollection of past life, the mindfulness and memory, by means of which he recollects the past life, is the recollection of past life, and knowledge is the knowledge associated with mindfulness. To the knowledge of recollection of past life, for the purpose of knowledge of recollection of past life, in this way and so on. So, past life, manifold, many kinds, or that has occurred in many ways, given in detail, is the meaning. Past life is the continuity lived here and there, taking the immediately previous existence as the beginning and working backward. So, previous, beginning with immediate previous life, going backward. He recollects, he recalls it, following it out by the succession of aggregates or by death and rebirth linking. There are six kinds of people who recollect this past life. They are other sectarians, not Buddhists. Ordinary disciples, great disciples, chief disciples, Pajika Buddhas and Bodhas.
So anybody.
Anybody, yeah. that is why the jhanas and supernormal knowledge are not found in Buddhism only, according to our books. So those who are not Buddhist can also have this kind of knowledge, but there is a difference. Herein, other sectarians recollect only as far back as 40 eons. But not beyond that. They are limited. Why? Because their understanding is weak for lack of determining of mind and matter, because they did not practice vipassana. Ordinary disciples recollect as far back as 100 eons, and as far back as 1,000 eons, because their understanding is strong. 100 or 1,000. The 80 great disciples recollect as far back as 100,000 eons. The 2 chief disciples recollect as far back as an incalculable age and 100,000 eons. Pachika Buddhas as far back as 2 incalculable ages and 100,000 eons. For such is the extent to which they can convey their minds back respectively. The Pali word used here is abhinihara, and that means accumulating perfections. See, if you want to become one of the great disciples, then you have to accumulate paramis, the perfections, for 100,000 eons. Since you have accumulated for 100,000 eons, when you become a great disciple, then you can remember all these lives, all these eons, not beyond that. It is something like you have lived here for 1 year, then you can remember your life here as only 1 year and not beyond that, something like that. So it is not that they can convey their minds back respectively. It is for such is the extent to which they have accumulated their perfections, something like that. And other sectarians only recollect the succession of aggregates, and they are unable to recollect according only to death and rebirth linking, letting go of the succession of aggregates. Now, when you recollect the past life, then you can recollect the from this moment backward to rebirth in this life, and then go beyond the rebirth to death in the previous life and so on. So when going back there, ordinary persons can go gradually back. not jumping to the relinking and then to the death in the previous life. But Buddha can do all that. So here it is said that the other sectarians are like blind people. They are unable to descend upon any place they choose. They go as the blind do without letting go of their sticks. So going little by little. So they recollect without letting go of the succession of aggregate and so on. And then chief disciples and other Pachika Buddha. Buddhas, however, have nothing to do either with succession of aggregates or with tracing through death and rebirth. For whatever instance they choose in many millions of eons or more or less is evident to them. So they descend with the lion's descent whenever they want. That means a lion can jump anywhere it likes, not going one by one. So it is called lion's descent, wherever they want. They were skipping over many millions of eons as though they were an elision in a text. So when you recite a text, you can use the
dance. Use three dance.
Yeah, that's right. So it is called Piyala in Pali. So sometimes when we recite suttas, we may use Piyala because we don't want to recite it in full. Like in the Heart Sutra.
Yeah. And so forth,
right. not so forth, but it is like saying the word in the beginning and then the word in the end. Just as an arrow shot by such a master or archery expert in hair splitting as Sarabhanga, he was Bodhisattva. Buddha in his past life, he was a great archer, always hits the target without getting held up among trees, creepers, etc. on his way, and so neither gets held up nor misses. So too, since Buddhas go in this way, their knowledge does not get held up in intermediate births or miss. Without getting held up or missing, it seizes any instance required. And then... No. Paragraph 22 is the explanation of how to go about or what to do to get the recollection of the past life. So, basic jhana, and then emerge from jhana, and then advert to first most recent action of sitting down for this purpose. So, and then you go back little by little next to the preparation of the seat, to the entry into the lodging, to the putting away of the bowl and outer robe, and so you recollect your actions backward, from the time you sit down to backward, and then to the time of eating, to the time of returning from the village, to the time of wandering for alms in the village, to the time of entering the village, and so on and so on. While this much, however, is evident even to his normal consciousness, it is especially evident to his preliminary work. So if you recall this, then with ordinary consciousness, you can see them clearly. So with the preliminary work consciousness, you see more vividly. But if anything there is not evident, then he should again attain the basic jhana, emerge and advert. So you do it again. By so doing, it becomes as evident as when the lamp is lit. And so in reverse order, he should advert to the things done on the second day back, on the third day, fourth and fifth day, and in the 10 days, and in the fortnight, and as far back as a year. Then 10 years, 20 years, and so on. And then...
For one process.
That's right. It's not easy.
to go back a year, it would take almost a year's worth.
And then 10 years, 20 much. Years... Yeah.
But to go back a year and go through each movement would not go quickly.
As much as you can remember.
And then, but the point is to keep the connection pretty detailed.
Yeah, yes,
if you
that's
the
right.
There's a big gap.
So right, it's, yeah.
How are this meditation mm-hmm. lost?
For a wise bhikkhu is able to, at the first attempt, to remove the rebirth linking, remove means open or something like that. The rebirth linking and make the mentality, materiality at the dead moment his object. So goes back to the dead and previous. And then the simile is given that if you don't see it, don't give up. You have to try it again and again. When you're felling a big tree, and then the blade will become blunted.
But if you've done